Today we want to just look forward to really a new year, and with the Lord, it's just another day in a way. I mean, there's salvation, and those lost yesterday are just as lost today in a new year unless they receive the Lord, right? And we are still as far from being Christ-like today as we were yesterday unless we get today's trials and afflictions to work on us. And so I wanted to look at continuing through the Psalms today as we have been. And we're in this little trilogy here of 141, 142, 143, where David is crying out to the Lord. And we have a great prayer today. It's called a Maskil. Maskil is a psalm that's intended for instruction. And we have a great instruction psalm today to teach us how to pray. Basically, you know, the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us to preach or teach us to heal or teach us. They said teach us to pray. And so this is a good teach us to pray psalm when you're really, 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 really down. I don't think any of us have been chased for our lives. In fact, I'm sure of that. The way David was. He had basically a whole nation after him, a relatively small nation, albeit. But think of the thousands that were out to turn him in to get a reward from the wicked King Saul. And here he's running for his life. I mean, unbelievable. The Ziphites and the other, Keilah and all, he saves the city, right? Saves the city from the Philistines. And then they wanted to turn him over to Saul, right? I mean, unbelievable, surrounded by nothing but gloom and doom, and I don't know if I'll make it through the next hour, right? We don't have any of that. None of us are really that concerned, I don't think, about being hunted down by all of the everybody in the country we're in, for sure, right? But we have other issues that cause us to be discouraged. And so I think there's much for us to learn here in this. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this new year. We thank you for your ageless and timeless word, which is as true 1,000 years ago or thousands years ago as it is today and as it will always be. We thank you that you are the I am that I am, not the I was that I was and that I will be, but the I am that I am. And Lord, there is no New Year's, Old Year's to you in that regard because you're outside of time and space, but we're still here. And so we do want to look forward. Not that we're going to change all that much, but we want to look forward to practice what you've told us to do, and that is to be bold against the evil, to stand against the evil, Lord, not to be complicit with evil, but to stand for you, Lord, in a loving way. And Lord, thinking of that spiritual armor and that breastplate of righteousness, it is that breastplate of righteousness that we come in, not in legalism, not in criticism, not in rebellion. We come in righteousness, your righteousness, and in such we should come in boldly. So help us to remember that, Lord, and help us to stand, and help us to be nourished every day by your word. It is life. Without that, we have no hope in these last days of staying on course. We have no hope to be free from deception. It's only through your word and only through your Holy Spirit speaking to us through your word that we can maintain course. And yet, you've given us that ability to withstand anything from the outside. Satan can't have us. He can bombard us, but he can't have us. We're yours, bought by your blood. And so today, I pray that we would use these moments to pray. And first, we want to just hear from your word a few verses, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 142 begins, I cry out to the Lord. And so I found this old Maranatha song, but let's sing along. The words are on your front page there. And thinking of verse 1, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. Verse 6, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. So let's sing. The words are here. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer.
Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, he lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Shelter unto me, and the strong tower from the enemy. And when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher.
I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I will make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So Amaskel, an instructive psalm from David, a prayer when he was in a cave. We have two accounts, the cave of Adullam and the cave of En-Gedi that he was in. We don't know how many more caves, because he was in a lot of caves, I would think. And we aren't told which one, but it says Amaskel, or contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. So it's for our instruction. So we see the first, it begins, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. So he is actually articulating to the Lord. Now, sometimes we pray without any voice. Our heart is praying and we don't have to be speaking words, but here he's actually crying out with his voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Now, why do we do that? We certainly don't do it to let him know. He already knows. In fact, he's the one that's prompting us to pray in the first place. And how important it is to articulate what's bothering you. And really, it's so important to articulate to the Lord, not to all those around you. They aren't going to help you. They may pray for you a little bit. But you aren't going to get any freedom, in a way, from your difficulties and your anxieties and all by telling other people about it. But you will with the Lord. And as you articulate that, a couple of things can happen. In some cases, you'll find you're worse off than you thought. But in other cases, you find out, once you turn it over to the Lord, all of a sudden there's that peace, isn't there? Is he going to disappear like your friends? And like the evil all around you, or whatever, good all around you for that matter anyway, that's of the world. No, he is not going to leave you or forsake you. In fact, he has promised you such a glorious thing. And as we think what he's promised each believer, we should really want to be out of this body more than anything else in the world. Not to leave before he takes us, I don't mean that. But that should be so in our hearts and in our minds. I don't care what you're going through. If you take your eye off of what he's promised for you, you've missed it. Now you're all down in your own pity and in your own morass, and it's just hopeless and helpless. But that's not of him, is it? That's of the evil one. So how is your faith? Oh, my faith is really strong when things are going well, right? Oh, a Christian life is so great. But then let the rug be pulled out from under you, and you find you don't have any faith at all, or really very tiny little faith, right? But even that tiny little faith is so important. So we need this reminding, and we have the whole book full of reminders, don't we? It's not like you hear something new every time you open the Bible. It's like, oh, I know that verse. Oh, really? Do you really know it? Yeah, I really know it. I can memorize it. I can tell you backward and forward. Are you doing it? Oh, that's another story now, really. But I cry out to the Lord with my voice. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. So having an overwhelming of your spirit is a very real thing. God loved David, right? If he would have all his life sought him the way he did in the first part of his life, he would have avoided so many problems, wouldn't he? Just like you and just like me, really. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. Yes, he knows your path even before you take your first step, right? Where you're going and where you've been. He knows in the way which I walk. Now he's in a tough place. They have secretly set a snare for me. They were all trying to trap David for the reward. All trying to set that trap. So wherever he was, they were secretly trying to trap him. Now Satan tries to do that with us in a more limited way. I don't know about more limited, but I mean he's not basically as a noose out there physically to grab you, and this is what was going on with David. They wanted to physically end his life. He says, look at my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Now, in the beginning, he was like all by himself. Then he got this ragtag bunch of guys. I think when he went to the cave of Adullam, they had 400, and then it grew to 600. And these were all outcasts. They were all hoodlums. They were all running from the law. Can you imagine being surrounded by 600 or 400 men who were fleeing from the law? It's not exactly a good resume, is it? And so he says, there's no one who acknowledges me, friendless. Do you feel friendless at times? I bet you do. I think we all do. I'm talking about real friends. Real friends who will put up with you no matter what. There aren't very many around that do that. But he felt he had no friends. And he says, refuge has failed me. All the things he was trying to do to aid him, they failed him. Isn't that how it is with us? Look back on some of the ways you've tried to get help in certain times, and pretty much all other than the Lord have failed, other than maybe it's the Lord working through somebody else that has helped you, but refuge apart from the Lord is going to fail you. No one cares for my soul. That's a strong statement. No one cares for my soul. That's a real feeling of despair, isn't it? I mean, it is important to have people praying for you, isn't it? But unless they care for your soul, their prayers aren't going to mean very much. I mean, they can pray for you to be healthy and to be wealthy and to be wise, but that's not really what you need, really. It's you need to be right with the Lord and staying true to him and not being picked off by the wicked one. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Yes, how true that is. Is the Lord really your refuge? Is the Lord really your portion? Verse 6, give heed or attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. deliver me from my persecutors. And while we probably aren't chased by the President of the United States and all of his army, we don't have a king, but we are being pursued by the evil workers of iniquity. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I am. Satan is much stronger than we are. He's nothing compared to the Lord. He's a created being on a leash. But these evil ones are stronger than we. But remember, only a third of the angels fell. That means two good ones for every bad one out there, right? So it's not like you're without hope, without help, right? Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Now, verse 7 is interesting. He doesn't say, bring my body out of prison. He says what? Bring my soul out of prison. You get the feeling in some of these psalms that the emphasis needs to be on the soul, not on the body. Body's going to pass away. You know, we begin to die as soon as we were born. Isn't that right in a fallen world? I think it is. Bring my soul out of prison. Do any of you feel like your soul is in prison right now? Why? That I may praise your name. I mean, we're already almost 7 hours into the new year. Have you praised the name of the Lord today? Have you thought how awesome he is? Have you done pretty well in dedicating your heart and mind to him so far today? Well, you're here. Not very many are here, so praise the Lord for you all. That I may praise your name, the righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Typically, of most of David's psalms, he goes down to the pit as far as you can go, and then almost always he ends on a high note. Almost always ends on a high note. And the righteous shall surround me. That's great faith, because he doesn't have any of those around him now, right? You shall deal bountifully with me. Now, when you're really down in the bottom of the pit, that's kind of a strong statement, because usually we don't think of that. We think, oh, you're not dealing very bountifully with me right now. I mean, I've been in this pit too long. Get me out of here. But he says, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Great exhortation there to articulate our prayers. Tell him everything he already knows. But when you tell him what you're worried about, you start to focus on where you are, not where he is. He is, he's always there and he doesn't change, but you change, right? And you find out way too much focus on yourself, usually, at least I do. And, I'm making myself way too important. And the difficulties I have, I'm expanding them way above. You know, we keep our mind on God, the problems shrink. We keep our mind on ourselves and our problems, they grow and God shrinks, right? So where is your mind right now? Is it on yourself or is it on him? Well, we have this opportunity to pray, and let's pray as you would be led this morning by the Spirit. And we'll close a few minutes early and come to the table together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalm 142. We thank you for the teaching here and praying in a time of great desperation and need and hopelessness. And Lord, we are all familiar with some of this. Lead us now in this time of prayer that we would pray effectively as you would lead us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Well, just wanted to read a couple of verses before we go to the table, just a reminder. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. You heard about some of them already, right? Men will be lovers of themselves. You know anybody like that? It's going to get worse. Lovers of money. You know anybody like that? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So that's what we are moving into in 2022. And I think Linda said we don't want war, but you can't have peace until you get rid of the enemy. And we can't have heaven until we get rid of the sin and the evil. But we are to be light, right? We aren't being called to save a nation. We aren't being called to save a city. We're being called to save one person at a time. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. So we're going to have more and more opportunities this year to stand against evil. And I believe that that's what we need to be praying for and thanking the Lord for those opportunities, because those have eternal consequences to them. Most of the time we spend in our life has no real eternal consequence to that degree. Well, we want to remember, as Phil so graciously was reminded to bring the elements, that I don't know how many of you, the last thing you did in 2021 was to go to the table, but I hope some of you had that opportunity. And we all here have the opportunity to come to Him first thing, generally speaking, in 2022. So as we come to the table, we want to just remember what we're coming to the table for. Why? Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:23, For I received from the Lord, not from man, not even from the written word necessarily, but I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So two words there, do this, do this, do this. Why? In remembrance of me. There's nothing more fitting on the first day of the year, really, than to remember his faithfulness up to this point. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me," Samuel would say. Ebenezer Stone, "This has been my help. Hitherto he has helped me." We want to remember what he has done for us. It's been mentioned a number of times already. The blood that was shed, the price that was paid. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we have hope. That's why we have life, because of what he has done. So as we take the elements here, we'll take them together. First, we will take the bread, and then we will take the cup. You can do that at your own pace, because it takes a little more time to get these things out of here for some of us than others. "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, what did he do? He broke bread. He didn't break his arm off. He didn't take his leg off or his finger off and said, "Here, eat this finger." But he said in the John, this is speaking in the Spirit, "When you eat my flesh and drink my blood." And here we are to eat. How do we get Christ in us? I want Christ in me, right? Don't you want Christ in you? How can you get him really in you, but other than your circulatory system? So we're going to take this and put it into our circulatory system, which will go through every cell in our body. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." Wow. It's hard for us to understand that they had been looking for the new covenant for 1,500 plus years. 1,500 years under the law. No one could keep it. There was no forgiveness of sin under the law, only an atonement, only a covering. There was no way to take your guilt. There wasn't anything. Again, the sacrificial system was in as pointing to Christ, but there was no way to have your sins expunged. Nobody could go to heaven until Christ paid the price. Sheol was the holding place where everybody went. Nobody knew And we read in Hebrews that the fear of death was not really accomplished until Christ paid the price, right? Now, we're born after that. We've never had any of that to be concerned about. Yeah, Christ died for me. I was told that when I was very, very young. It wasn't a problem to believe it at all. But it was like, yeah, that's the way it is. But it wasn't that way at the time of Jesus. So he said, this cup is the new covenant. In my blood. Blood is so important. In my blood, this do as often, as often. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we don't see any timetable there. We don't see that, you know, you need to do it X number of times. It's not a legal relationship. But it's a relationship as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we're doing this to remember him. We're doing this to remember him. And how are we going to demonstrate we're really his? Well, we stay in the Word every day. We stay led by the Spirit continually. It's the only way we can really remember him all the time. It's the only way we can represent him all the time. It's the only way we can stand for him all the time, right? And it's going to be harder and harder and harder to stand. It's not going to get easier. Pestilence is not going away. Temptation is not going away. Resistance of the evil one is not going away. It's getting going to get more frantic as he's running out of time. But as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim we're standing for him today when we say that we remember him through the bread and the cup. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or herald, proclaim his death till he comes. Well, he hasn't come yet. And he's getting closer, right? Scripture is filled with watch and be ready, watch and be ready, watch and be ready. Are you watching and be ready? I fear most of the church is not. Most of the church is more concerned about being a good Christian. That's great. We want to be good Christians, but there's also the watching and ready, right? And you can't really be a good Christian unless you are watching and waiting, right? And so that's something that we need to keep in mind. But Father, as we just come here now quietly and take the bread and the cup together, if there's anything that needs to be cleaned up in our own heart, soul, or mind, we repent of that and take that to you now. And we just want to take this cup and this bread, remembering the price that you paid, what you did for us. And it's all because of what you did for us that we have that living hope. Oh, victory. Oh, sin, where is your victory over death? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And there is not one anymore because of what you have done for those who love you and know you. So we praise you for that. So as we take this together, let us remember. So let us take it at your own time in your wafer and the juice. I wanted to just close with the song that I had kind of been led to for the psalm, but it kind of fits the thing as well. It's entitled Always. My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear, his promise is true. My God will come through always, always. In verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. So let's sing this song together, if we may.
My foes are many. They rise against me. But I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear a storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Father, such beautiful thoughts of you're always on time. And we read here about delay. You're not going to delay your coming. Your coming is going to be perfectly on time. But we're to watch and be ready no matter how long it is from this point on. We're to be ready. May we be. I thank you for this precious family, for the oneness we have. When we're in your presence and when we come to the table or when we pray together or sing together, Lord, may each just sense your spirit today and just stand for you and loving you more and loving one another more. Lord, help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.